Hey guys, it's Sam, and welcome to yet another episode and Sometimes There's Scott Horror Review. I'm Sam, and with me always my cohort.
Her younger sister Zoe.
Yay! So guys, I'm debating whether or not I want to change the name of the show from
And Sometimes There's Scotch
to ASTS, Horror Review. Which would still, you know, the acronym would, the initials would still mean the same thing, but because Zoe can't drink, it would make more sense. Plus saying And Sometimes There's Scotch, there are probably people that you talk about this podcast to. I hope there's people you talk about this podcast to. We're like, hey, are they going to talk about alcohol? No, we fucking are not. We talk about horror movies.
Yeah, and ASTS is a lot easier to get on a shirt or some merchandise.
Right.
In the distant future.
And we totally want a merchandise. Oh, any horror news for you? Anything at all?
Exactly, no. No.
Right. I know I had a few things, but something happened yesterday on Twitter, and I'm still trying to recover from it.
Are you talking about the Facebook post?
Oh, you mean the Lloyd Kaufman thing?
Yeah.
Yes!
I can't stop laughing. I'm just like, oh my god.
Yes.
Sam was probably looking at her phone like,
right.
What the hell?
Yeah, I was like, what the shit, dude? Okay, so for those of you who are not familiar with him, Lloyd Kaufman is I don't know if he's the president or the CEO, but he's pretty high up there in Troma. Like, and if you don't know who Troma is, Troma Entertainment does stuff like The Toxic Avenger, Sergeant Kabuki Man. Honestly, that's all I'm, Romeo and Juliet, Poltergeist, you know, people like James Gunn used to work for Troma Entertainment, so did Michael J. White, Sean Gunn, of course, used to work for him, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, but yeah, so like, huge, huge thing. I'm posting on Twitter that I want to find more people to be on this podcast with me, and I want to talk about, Troma movies and Clive Barker's work. Well, and the reason I want to do that is because I realize in order for this to be relevant still and people to not lose interest in this podcast, I'm going to have to do more than just remake versus original, because that's a lot. That's very, very time consuming. It's more time consuming than I thought it was going to originally be. So anyways, post it on Twitter, post on the Facebook group that I wanted to discuss Troma movies and Clive Barker's work with people who are in the Quad City area. And if you don't know where the Quad Cities is, it's like right where Illinois and Iowa kind of boop together. Wouldn't you say? Like, that's the best way to put it, is where they boop.
Yeah, I'd say so.
It's Davenport, Rock Island, Bettendorf, that area. Well, anyways, I posted this on Twitter. Out of fucking nowhere, Lloyd Kaufman fucking responded to me. If you want to get me on your podcast, if you want to interview moi, you need to contact such and such a thing. And he posted on my Twitter feed, guys. So, like, it's not anything that's hidden or anything. You can go to my Twitter account. It's at Sam Odin. And fucking, he's like, hey, you want to get me on the show? And I'm like, oh my god.
You're just like, oh.
Yeah, right? But, like, the best part of it isn't even the fact that he wants to be on my show. Or that he's like, hey, if you want me to be on your show, you need to get a hold of these people. It's the fact that he started retweeting some of the stuff I was tweeting. And one of the things that I had posted was the phrase, you don't control my colon should not be a common phrase for me. He fucking retweeted that shit. Dude, I lost it too. Like, there were some other things that he had retweeted, like the fact that he's going to be at C2E2 promoting the Toxic Avenger rock musical, which I just put in for it today, guys. Hopefully I'll get that off. Once I know for definite if I have that weekend off, because it does not follow my normal weekend, I'm going to be contacting the email address that Lloyd gave me. And who knows, maybe Lloyd Kaufman will be on the show at some point. But that's totally fucking exciting. Like I said, I had more horror news, but everything else seemed like inconsequential once I found that out. And I was just like, oh my god! And, you know, I've been showing it to my friends all fucking day, and they've been like, oh my god.
And you're just like, I'm a legend, you can't fucking touch me.
Right, pretty much. I've been like, Oh, look at me. Look at me. You want some? Like, one of my friends, I screen captured it, and I was like, ba-boom, these nuts. Anywho, that's the biggest news I've got, guys. Hopefully, we'll get some kind of fruition from that. I will let you know on this show how everything goes with that. But today, we are going to be talking about The Mummy.
Yes, we are.
Okay, and we ended up reviewing the original Mummy, which was, what, 1932? Yeah, 1932, versus the remake, which was made in 2017. So, yes, guys, we fucking watched the Tom Cruise one.
Yeah. Regretted a little. Regretted a little.
Yeah. But you know what? It was kind of fun being able to watch it with the entire family.
It was.
You know? So, where should we start about these movies?
I suppose we'll start with the Mummy character.
Yeah, okay. Alright, what can you say about the mummies? The mommies?
The mommies.
The mummies?
Honestly, I kind of like the remake version of the mummies.
Okay.
To be honest. And it's not the fact that she was a female.
Right, but that was interesting.
But it's the fact that when they came to life, they were struggling to walk. They were struggling to get up. They weren't, like, up and walking normally. No, they took their sweet time. Like, they were struggling.
Right. So, the plot of the Mummy movies is, in the original, I don't even know how to explain the plot, honestly.
Okay, I think I can.
Okay, go ahead.
Basically, what happens is, for a little background, the Mummy in the original is Imhotep.
The great and powerful Imhotep! And I had to do that because I know if the Scotts brothers are listening to that, they better be doing that fucking shit. And if they're not, you know what? I don't think we can be friends anymore. Go on.
But either way, the basic premise is that he's dead, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to bring back his lover.
Right.
Who happens to be Princess...
I've got it in my notes. It is Princess... Not Princess... geez, where is it? Anaximon.
Anaximon.
Right.
That's the basic plot of the movie.
Right, of the original.
Of the original. The remake, however, takes it a little twist of a turn.
Mm-hmm.
The Mummy in the remake is actually Princess Ottoman. I think that's how you say her name.
Yeah. Well, it sounds, Ottoman in the remake, and it sounds oddly similar. Excuse me, to Anaximon.
Yeah. And in the remake, basically what you find out is she was basically a witch.
Mm.
No sugarcoating, she was a freaking witch.
Yeah.
And she wanted to summon Set.
Yeah.
In order to do that, she had to kill someone. Well, she chose her dad, the guards found her, and then she ends up dying and becomes the Mummy.
Yeah. So, in both of the Mummy movies, there's definitely a theme with them trying to resurrect a lost love, in a way. Also, the fact that both mummies were basically imprisoned, because in the original, they mentioned that this was not a normal embalming.
Oh, yeah, his sarcophagus, like, there's an inscription on it that's supposed to protect us on the afterlife. They etched it out.
Yeah, they didn't even have it on the, original mummies. Thing. Sacred texts that would have protected him in the end of the world were gone. It was definitely not a normal embalming. They suggested that in the original that this was somebody being punished. Whereas in the remake, she's like, her sarcophagus is like lifted up with chains.
Yeah, and there's like in the remake, they're very, very desperate to keep her hidden.
Yeah, no.
So no one can get to her.
One, she's not in, like, they don't find her in Egypt. There's mercury in her, like, tomb, because that's supposed to, believed it trapped souls, is what the movie had said. So basically, like, in both mummy movies, these mummies were not supposed to be found.
No, they were not. And they were supposed to stay hidden away from everyone.
Right. In the original, it was the Scroll of Thoth that made resurrected things. In the remake, it was the Dagger of Set.
Yes, and with the Dagger of Set, you had to have the ruby with it, otherwise it's pretty much...
It wasn't going to work. What else can I say about these? Oh, Honestly, I'm going to go off script. The original movie was in black and white, and it starred Boris Karloff, whose actual name is fucking William Henry Pratt.
Huh. Yeah. What do you know?
Yep. Boris Karloff was his stage name, and then the Mummy remake has Tom Cruise in it. Yay. No, Tom Cruise is actually a good actor. The movie just sucked balls. But we will get into why the movie sucked balls. There was so much shit going on in the Mummy remake. Like, what the fuck?
Basically, to sum this up, if you guys have seen Torchwood, I would sum this up as, what happened when Captain Jack Harkness left Torchwood?
Right! Right, and like, you know, we're not even being facetious about that, guys. Like, there is a whole section in this movie where they're like, yeah, well, okay. So, in the remake, Tom Cruise's character ends up bagging this archaeologist chick, and he takes her fucking map to find this mummy. Okay, the archaeologist chick, whose name is Jen, is looking for this lost princess, and they believe that the mummy that they find in this movie is that lost princess. She was taken away from the history books because, one, she was supposed to become the first female pharaoh. Yeah. Two, she did not become the first female pharaoh because her father ended up having a son with another woman. And it is because of the fact that she ended up getting a baby brother that this mummy decided to fucking go into witchcraft.
Yeah, she basically asked the God. For
help.
For help.
Yeah, and then that's why she fucking did it, is because she was going to be the first female pharaoh, and then they were like, oh yeah, by the way, no.
And she's like, uh-uh, not happening. I need more power.
Yeah, and she, like, trained her entire life to become this pharaoh. Like, she did shit that she wasn't supposed to do to become this pharaoh, and then they were like, nah, he's got a penis, he can have it. So yeah, that kind of sucks balls. But anyway, so the archaeologist chick, Jen, is a part of that association that they're trying to find this. Well, they bring Tom Cruise's character into this secret society. Yeah. And this secret society, guys, has specimen jars of vampires, specimen jars of the creature from the Black Lagoon's fens. They seem to know how to handle the undead. Plus, fucking Mr. Hyde is working for them.
Yeah, and at that point, you're just like, the fuck.
And at that point, they're saying, secret society in England, dealing with the para-fucking-normal. Torchwood.
Yeah, your brain just goes, Torchwood.
And it doesn't help any that, like, some of the scenes that they're showing, obviously, like, are similar to Torchwood. Like, the big Ferris wheel. Yeah. I'm just like,
is what happened when Jack left.
Yeah, I'm like, cool. Not gonna be surprised as I find a hand in a jar. Not gonna be surprised at all.
No.
In fact, I was hoping that Jack Harkness would show up in this. I was hoping.
But he didn't.
But he did not. Instead, we got Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, which, by the way, I love that fucking character. I would watch an entire movie with just Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, I'll be honest, even though he was kind of misplaced in this movie.
He wasn't needed.
I did like how they did the whole, he has to have, like, a shot thing so he doesn't become Dr. Jekyll.
Right!
Like, I love that. Like, right. I love the idea of that. Like, he's, like, he knows he's losing control.
And he can, like, boop.
He can, like, boop and then, woohoo!
And what I loved about that was the fact that when they changed the character from Dr. Jekyll to Mr. Hyde, it was lighting. They did not I don't think they added very many prosthetics onto the actor.
Yeah, no, they didn't. They, at most, for when right. he was, I think, Dr. Jekyll, right?
Right.
You saw he had, like, a black hand.
Right.
And that was about it.
Right. So that was really cool. Tom Cruise's character, Nick, and his buddy, Bale. Okay, guys, don't fucking do the Werewolf in London, okay? Do not fucking do an American Werewolf in London when you don't need to fucking do it. Okay? Not every movie has to have a disembodied best friend who's coming back to you in visions as a mangled corpse. Like, not every goddamn movie needs it.
Yeah, no, not really.
Okay? Like, serious fuckingly, don't. Okay, you guys were already jamming enough shit in there as is with this Mummy remake. Why the fuck did you need to do that? You didn't. You just did it because you were like, oh, this is a cool concept that nobody anywhere has ever fucking seen. Unless you're a fucking horror fan, and then you've fucking seen it.
Yeah, accurate. What they could have done,
right,
instead of doing that, is right, they could have just killed the guy off and maybe have the one dude go insane or
right,
something.
Right, exactly.
But not necessarily see his friend.
Yeah.
But just him have go insane.
Yeah, have Nick go insane in general. And you know what? I think, honestly, the thing that makes me angrier about the friend bail, and it wasn't just so much the fact that it was very much playing on the whole American Werewolf in London thing. It was the fact that I feel like the film directors and the writer did not think that we were intelligent enough to get it. And yeah, that's insulting. Okay? Like, you guys have set up the music to where, and these flashbacks between the mummy and Tom Cruise's character, and you've established that there is some kind of link between them. Okay?
Yeah, you could have played up on that link between the mummy and Tom Cruise's character.
A little bit
more interesting.
And you could have cut Bale's character out in general. Like, the minute Bale gets possessed by the mummy to protect her on the plane, you guys could have just been like, okay, he's dead now. Because you've established the fact that there is a connection between Tom Cruise's character and the mummy's character. You've established that. You've made it clear that those two are somehow connected. But you felt the need to bring in this other character that we did not need. And then on top of that, you felt the need to bring in Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, which we really didn't need. We didn't need it at all. I understand that, like, the film studio was trying to do this whole, like, massive, like, dark universe thing with the Universal Monsters.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, and basically what they wanted to do is they wanted to build, like, a Avengers kind of world with these things.
Yeah, it would have made more sense to have a movie separate.
Right.
Like, maybe call a movie The Secret Society.
Right.
And then open up a Dr. Jekyll, you see all the jars, you see all this, maybe have tidbits from the Mummy movie.
Well, and you know what? Honestly, it would have been a lot, and I agree with you, that would have been a lot better. If they're trying to do this, like, dark universe, like, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen thing with these movies, they should have just fucking had a Dr. Jekyll movie first. Because yeah, we've seen the Mummy.
Yeah.
The Mummy's not that old. In fact, before we decided to do this one, guys, and the only reason we did this one is because it's Women in Horror Month, or it was in February. That's the only reason we decided to do it. Honestly. Brandon Fraser's Mummy movies were not box office flops.
Yeah,
they were actually really good movies.
If you take the original Mummy and Ben Fraser's Mummy, they line up almost perfectly.
Really? I'm going to have to go back
through
and watch
them. Yeah, they do. Like, the only difference is the actors and some of the stuff they do
right,
is a little bit different, but it's the same premise.
See. And that brings me back to the point is that, like, they didn't need to remake the Mummy movie. And if they're trying to do this, like, whole, like, dark universe thing, like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, they should have just started with a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde movie first. Because, guys,
like, I'd love to see Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde movie.
Right.
Like, maybe explain why he became Mr. Hyde.
Right. Well, and that's my thing, too, guys. It's like, we don't have that movie. You know?
Yeah, no, you don't.
It's been years since it's been remade, or if it's even been remade, guys. So, like, going into that would have been so much better. But I feel like we're digressing, and I'm bitching a lot about the remake. Let's talk about positive things. Let's talk about the original.
Hi, puppy. Okay, well, shoot. Okay, in the original, I kind of like the idea of how they had the archaeologist, right?
Mm-hmm. We have a special guest again, guys. We need to put work in. Okay, go on.
Like, I liked how, like, the younger of the three of them was like, hey, we need to dig this guy up. We need to do it now, right, now. Like, he's really impatient.
Right.
And he's the same guy that ends up going insane.
Oh, are you talking about the guy who was like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Hold
he
on.
He was like, he wanted to dig up the sarcophagus. They get the scroll. The older of the archaeologists is like, okay, yeah, we got this girl. Woohoo!
He's back to watching them. Jafar! Oh my god, don't. Sorry, my dog just stepped on the recording, on the computer while we were recording, because he was like, oh, what is this? I see the red dot. I need to boop it. Anyways, though, you were talking about the guy.
Oh, yeah, the older of the two archaeologists is like, okay, we have this girl, we need to keep digging, we need to figure out what else is here. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like the doctor dude. Can't remember his name.
I think it was Wimple.
Wimple is like, no. You need to rebury that. This is not good.
Yeah.
This is not good at all.
Yeah.
Like, he seemed to be the only sane one there.
Yeah, he really did.
He was just like, we need to rebury it. Cleanse it with fire.
Yeah.
And then a little bit, find out, like, the new archaeologist, he has, like, the, what is it, sphere? Or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a sphere.
Yeah, sphere. And he's like, okay, I'm gonna put this together. I got this. Then he freaking reads from the scroll of thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're just like, no, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
You don't do that. Yeah. Hi, baby.
So, I mean, the original was black and white, guys. And it focused a lot on atmosphere, is what it did.
Yeah, it really did.
You don't see Boris Karloff's mummy character in the, like, bandages a lot. You see him basically in, like, a robe.
Yeah, and his priest uniform, if you will.
Yeah, it's kind of a priestly-looking uniform. Of course, he finds his lost love in this movie. Or somebody that he believes is the reincarnated soul of his lost love. And he's got to sacrifice her and bring her back. He has to kill her and then bring her back with the Scroll of Thoth in order to make it to where it's his love again. Instead of just, like, being in love with this, like, mortal woman who's alive right now, he's got to kill her and bring her back.
Which makes no freaking sense.
Which makes no sense, but whatever. But we'll find out that the other movie, the remake, makes no fucking sense either about that situation. So yeah, he ends up trying to kill her. Fails at it, of course, and for whatever reason, they're in this temple with a statue of the goddess Bisset, and the goddess statue is what ends up defeating Imhotep. Well, in the remake, once again, the mummy's kind of enamored by this mortal human, and she has to kill Tom Cruise's character in order to bring back, not necessarily love, but the god Set. Couldn't have made it any other god in the Egyptian pantheon. We had to do Set.
You had to do the quintessential devil of the Egyptian gods.
Yeah, had to do Set. I feel like more people would be pissed off if they said Anubis, but whatever. She has to kill Tom Cruise's character about this. Well, when they're in the Torchwood-type facility, Dr. Jekyll says, hey, we need to sacrifice Nick for the greater good. And everybody's like, no, that's wrong. We shouldn't sacrifice Nick. Even Nick's like, no, let's not sacrifice me. That's horseshit. Because at that point in the movie, they've found both the gem that they need for the dagger and the dagger itself. And they're going to combine the two, and then in the control facilities of the Torchwood type thing, they were going to sacrifice Nick.
Yeah.
In a controlled environment, they were going to do this. So instead, the mummy breaks free because she's able to manipulate things really well. Like, she can send spiders or whatever.
Yeah.
Whispers. Like, she's pretty fucking powerful. You would have thought that someplace like this would have those kind of fail-safes in. But whatever, they do not. So, there's a huge chase between Nick and Jen, the archaeologist lady, and the mummy. And it ends up that Jen drowns.
Yeah, and you're kind of like, oh, that's a little sad.
It's a little
she
sad.
She drowned. Like, she drowned. She didn't do anything in the movie.
No, she didn't do anything wrong. Except for sleep with an asshole. Like, that was it.
That was it.
She slept with a fucking jerk. But yeah, so Jen drowns. Oh, no. And it's a standoff between Tom Cruise's Nick And the mummy.
And of course, the mummy's like, once I sacrifice you, you will have the powers of a god. You have the ability to resurrect and destroy life.
Yeah, and she's, like, trying to bribe him, like, come on, buddy, get yeah. on my side.
He's like, she's like, yeah, 0 months financing, you know, interest-free. Come on, buddy, like, let's get you signed up for this. And Nick's like, no, no, no. And then he realizes, hey, if I have the powers to resurrect and destroy things, I can bring Jen back to life. So Nick steals the dagger from the mummy because, of course, he can, because he's some kind of super rogue.
I think the mummy was kind of distracted a little.
I think she was, but I don't think she was distracted that much.
Yeah, not that much.
I mean, we're dealing with, like, a mortal human being versus an Egyptian death, you know, goddess, basically. Well, not an Egyptian goddess, but, like, a powerful sorceress. And so he takes the dagger and he stabs himself. After throwing a fucking fit over the fact that Dr. Jekyll wanted to do it in the...
Yeah, like, I love this scene with between him and Mr. Hyde, honestly.
Oh, that was the best fight scene.
That was the best fight scene because Mr. Hyde is just like, buddy, I don't want to kill ya.
This asshole does.
This asshole does.
Yeah, and then that was great because, like...
Like, you go from, like, doctor, and he's, like, lifting Tom Cruise's character up. Right. Like, throwing him. It's like, I don't want to hurt you, but...
This ass.
Yeah. He does.
And that was great, too. But, yeah, so Tom Cruise's character ends up becoming the god Set. And the movie ends with him resurrecting his friend. And going off on adventures. Yay! Adventures!
And I think, like, Mr. Hyde or Dr. Jekyll, one of those two, yeah, says sometimes you need a monster.
Yeah, to hunt a monster.
To hunt a monster.
Again, guys, I would really like to see the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde movie.
Yeah, same. Put in the works.
The last rumored movie I've heard of has been Bride of Frankenstein, starring Gail Godot as the titular bride. I think she'd be fantastic. I just don't think we should do another movie like that. Simply because it's... Well, I can get into a whole tirade about the Frankenstein movie. Not movie, but book. Because I've read the book, guys. And the bride shows up in there for, like, maybe 2 pages in the actual book that it's based on the book Frankenstein. And she's there for 2 pages and she dies. Like, Victor Frankenstein can't keep her alive.
Huh.
It's a good book. You should read it by Mary Shelley. Anyways, any more thoughts about the mummy movies? Because this is actually a really, really short episode, but I don't know what else to say about these movies.
I kind of like how they did the remake mummy's makeup, like the female.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the idea that when she gets more powerful and when... What's-his-face, his character gets more powerful.
The eyes.
Okay. I like the idea of the double eyes, because, like, you're like, okay, they are possessed. You can tell they're possessed.
Yeah.
That idea was really neat. The only thing that I was kind of about the female mummy...
Right.
If you're going to put wording on a mummy...
Right.
...from Egypt, do not do fucking Japanese lettering!
Oh, and she called it the fuck out.
You don't do that.
Yeah, it was definitely not Egyptian lettering.
And that would have been so much nicer. It's like a little hieroglyphic, like maybe like right here on right. their forehead, on their arms. Oh. That'd be nice. But no, they had to do Japanese, and it's like, guys.
Fucking kanji everywhere.
She's an Egyptian mummy, and you find her in like England. Come on. Pick a theme.
Well, maybe...
Is she Egyptian or is she Japanese?
Yes.
Which is it?
And what Zoe means by the double eyes, guys, is that, what the fuck was that, Jafar? Is that the characters actually had, like, double irises. Per eye. So it wasn't like you had a set of eyes and then another set of eyes underneath. No, like, it was double irises within each eye. So that was kind of cool. Anything else you can say about either movie? If people are wanting to watch these movies, which one would you recommend more?
Honestly, it's going to sound sad, but yeah, the original, because it keeps to the plot line. The remake, they're just like, here's Mr. Jekyll. Oh, by the way, here's a jar with a vampire skull in it.
Right, and I honestly think that they were trying to do a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen thing, like, really super quick. And honestly, guys, stuff like that, I feel, needs to take time. Like, you've got to build a very rich story, and you've got to, like, rely on the fact that people are going to be interested in that really rich story.
Honestly, yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why books like Frankenstein and Dracula and The Portrait of Dorian Gray and Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde have endured so long is because they're good books. Just fucking use the source material.
Honestly, yeah.
Like, you don't need to go off the source material. Like, they're good books. So, yeah. Next week, guys, I think this is it for this show. Like, I don't know what else to say about these mummy movies.
Yeah, no, not.
We kind of rambled, and I'm sorry that we rambled.
I mean, we tried to keep the plot. Yeah, this is probably a flop episode, but there's not much we can say positive about the remake.
Oh, God, no. And the original's pretty straightforward. I suppose we could get back into doing the kind of reviews like we did with Spider Baby, but I don't want to do that. Like, that's going to be boring as shit for people.
It really is.
Right. Because why would you guys want to sit here and listen to either one of us talk about a movie scene for scene for scene when we could just be like, hey guys, go to Blur and watch it for, you know, free, or go to Blur and pick it up for cheap. Like, you know?
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah. So next week we're going to be reviewing... Well, next podcast episode will be about Rosemary's Baby.
I've never seen it.
I have seen the original, but it's been years. I'm a fan of Mia Farrow's hairstyle in that movie.
Fair enough.
But yeah, we're going to review Rosemary's Baby. Should be interesting. Mia Farrow plays Rosemary in the original, whereas Zoe Saldana plays Rosemary in the remake. So I'm really excited to see that. And then after that point, guys, we're going to start doing random episodes. So I'm going to get a big jar, and Zoe's going to do Pick at Random, the next horror movie that we watch. We'll have it on next podcast. Hopefully I can get a hold of a few people who want to get on the show to review Troma stuff and Clive Barker stuff. Gonna do some phone calls. Gonna do some textins. Josh wanted to review, Josh from Tuning Japanese, guys. Sorry, I totally fucking forgot the name of the show because I got really excited about other things. But, Josh from Tuning Japanese has said that he's interested in reviewing Poultrygeist with me. I know that there's a few wrestlers who I need to get a hold of and be like, hey, bitches. And then I'm not really calling you guys bitches. Unless you are a bitch. And then I'm totally calling you guys a bitches. Alright, I can deal with it.
Somewhere they're like, Sam, you're such a jerk.
Yeah, somewhere they're like, Sam's a fucking asshole. When did this fucking happen? I'll tell you when it fucking happened. Fucking happen when the centers were no longer a thing, okay? Like, I fucking rage so hard about that shit. Every time I goddamn hear Slayer's raining blood, I'm just like, oh my god, is it them? No, it's not them. So yeah, I'm gonna contact some people. Hopefully we can get some more people on the show. Again, if you want to be on the show, talk to me. And I think that's it. Zoe, you got any closing thoughts? Anything else to say? Any more swears to...
No, I'm good.
You don't want to say fart nugget?
No, I'm good.
Tooter poot.
Pass.
All right.